much for listening to KBOO, and thank you, members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can always become one by going to kboo.fm on the web and clicking on Donate Today. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia.
The KBOO Community Radio Artist in Residence program assists artists working creatively with sound. Every year, one artist or one collaborative group of artists will be awarded 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KBOO mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. The goals of the KBOO Artist Support Program are to support and invest in individuals who are pushing themselves artistically using sound, whose work will impact the cultural landscape of Portland, and to bring those artists into the dynamic KBOO community of local, national, and international artists and activists. Applications for the 2016 KBOO Artist in Residence are due February 12th at 5 p.m. More information and application materials are at kboo.fm/AIR2016.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, January 13th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Our guest today, Adam Weissman, is back with us. Adam, of course, is with Global Justice for Animals and the Environment and also active with Trade Justice New York Metro. And he is joining us again to take up the hot button issue, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We are going to be talking about this every day this week because it is just that important. It touches on every aspect of our lives, or it will. It's NAFTA on steroids, and no matter what they say, this is not anything remotely like a trade bill. This is something entirely different that the world has never seen. Originally designed and created by Wall Street in order to rein in China's burgeoning power. China, however, has reined its own burgeoning power in by tripping up on its massive investments in domestic infrastructure, something that we could use a little bit of right here at home. Instead of blowing all our taxpayers' money on what? On ridiculous wars. The rest of the money in the country is not circulating, it's static. The 1%ers are sitting on it. It is not in circulation. It is not doing the nation any good. This may be the wealthiest nation in the world, I doubt it, but currently that's what we are to understand. But we're not, because the money doesn't touch anybody, not even the people who own it. They sit on it and rotate. Adam Weissman will be speaking with us in just a minute, but I do want to provide a little bit of context around the topic of the Trans-Pacific Partnership and some of the specific issues that Adam will be addressing. Well, the situation at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge is, of course, calamitous. Buildings, roads, grounds, computers have been taken over. There's No state or federal agency has made any move to mitigate the vandalism. So the question is, have the federal agencies, so state police, FBI, and so forth, are they possibly on the side of the crazy pets? What exactly is going on here? Are they waiting for these guys to make a move, which would be a bad idea, given that all possible moves that they might make are bad ones? And, of course, This is all God's idea. So see you in that court, I suppose. Meanwhile, we have David Fry, a young 20-something hipster from Ohio, who posted the hashtag Pray for ISIS to his Google page, and he is among those involved. Yeah, that's right. You heard that right. Hashtag Pray for ISIS. And he's involved in the militant standoff in the Malheur National Wildlife Refugees made a website supporting the standoff. So let's see if we get this straight. Fry here, and he's an odd duck. He's a very odd duck. But he supports ISIS, right? He also supports the standoff in Malheur. He supports the God-driven militiamen, and he said in an interview that he's not a bad guy. It's all media's fault. Turns out, however, that the redoubtable Mr. Fry has a criminal record. It includes convictions for possession of drugs, possession of paraphernalia, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, that said, we also have the specter of two Texas billionaire brothers who bought nearly 40,000 acres of land on the Joseph Plains in Idaho County, Idaho. Apparently closed access to local residents for hunting and recreation. They own it. Who knows what they're going to be doing with it. And they've also at this point purchased, get this, 300,000 acres in Montana. 300,000 acres are closed off to the public and are currently in the hands of two very, very conservative, very right-wing, they are Christian fundamentalist extremists, and now they own all of this land in the West. Better keep a close eye open at all times, because these are guys who indeed support the Trans-Pacific Partnership. At which point, let's bring in Adam. Good morning, Adam, and welcome back.
Well, thank you so much for having me again.
We have strange scenarios playing out all over the West, and not to mention our import from Ohio. As if we don't have enough crazy people here, we've got to go to out of state now. And we have like militiamen flooding in from Nevada and from all across the country. And now we have their boy genius, David Fry, coming up with a website for them, right alongside his website for ISIS. That said, let's talk about Trans-Pacific Partnership, because it is looming and people are still not up to speed. Even the people who are going to vote on it haven't read it. Can you get us started by recapping what we talked about yesterday?
Sure. So I talked yesterday about how the Trans-Pacific Partnership, while on the one hand, we have a presidential administration and a president who last night spoke disparagingly of climate change deniers, who touts himself on his record in addressing the problem of climate change, who is simultaneously pushing a free trade agreement that is going to give some of the dirtiest industries on the planet, some of the industries that are most responsible for driving climate change, expanded powers to attack our environmental laws in the venue of international tribunals outside the jurisdiction of our court system. Is that just paranoia? Well, no, that's reality. And we know that that's reality because these expanded investor rights have precedent in past trade agreements like NAFTA. And just last week, TransCanada, the company behind the infamous Keystone XL pipeline, brought a $15 billion, with a B, dollar NAFTA suit against the United States because the Obama administration refused to approve the Keystone XL pipeline. TransCanada is claiming that they are owed monetary compensation for the money they believe they might have earned from this pipeline had this pipeline come into existence. They are not claiming we've invested $15 billion in this project and we should be compensated on our investment. They are saying you need to compensate us on the money that we believe we might have made. And that is exactly how the investment chapters built into these NAFTA-style free trade agreements work. Under the Trans-Pacific Partnership, about 9,200 new corporations will gain the power to sue our government for enforcing our environmental rules, for consumer protection decisions coming out of our court system, for defending labor rights. Really, these trade agreements are about more than trade. They are a full frontal assault on our ability to regulate in the public interest. They are an assault on our inspection system. The Trans-Pacific Partnership contains rules that give food exporters the power to attack our food inspection rules. These trade agreements are in reality about unfettered corporate power, allowing corporations to profit at our expense. And that's really what really illustrates that is who actually had the inside track to these trade negotiations. We, the people, were locked out. We were not able to see the negotiating text of TPP as this agreement was being developed. The trade agreement was treated as a state secret. The people who were actually able to see what was being negotiated as it happened were over 500 corporate advisors. Advisors from a range of industries that stand to benefit from attacking environmental laws, from expanding intellectual property rights on life-saving pharmaceuticals in order to prevent affordable brand-name drugs from coming on the market, from companies like the big banks who want to build banking deregulations into a trade agreement, which really has nothing to do with international trade. But the truth is, TPP is not really a trade agreement. It does address trade in 5 out of its 29 chapters. But what the rest of this is a massive international corporate rights treaty being disguised as a trade deal. This is a Trojan horse deal for expanding corporate power. This is not about job creation in the United States. This is not about expanding U.S. exports. This is simply about expanding corporate power, using China as the boogeyman to justify it. But this is not going to expand U.S. power in relation to China. This trade agreement is, in fact, in the long term, they're talking about bringing China into this deal, which would give Chinese corporations the same kind of power to attack U.S. laws when their investments are infringed upon as they see it by our regulation. Well, where could that come to pass? Well, gee, how about the fact that China recently bought Smithfield, a Chinese company bought Smithfield Foods, the largest pork producer in the United States. So if we pass new consumer safety regulations or environmental rules or animal welfare rules relating to the pork industry, we've just given, if China joins the TPP, an opportunity for a Chinese corporation to sue us for protecting consumers, for protecting animals, or protecting the environment. So how this reigns in China and puts the U.S. in charge of making the rules is very unclear, when in fact we would be expanding the power of Chinese corporations to challenge U.S. laws.
This is, there are so many other alarming things about it. Pharmaceuticals as well. The pharmaceutical industry, of course, has been a hotbed, a propagator of amazing corruption. David Vinner, the revolving door representative from Louisiana, has got his hands pretty dirty in that industry. But the people that really influence are older people who take more medicine perhaps than younger people, at least prescribed medicine, and younger people tend to take more medicine. It's not exactly prescribed, but it's okay if it makes you feel better, but not if it makes you feel good, is the motto there. But that said, there was a march, I understand, yesterday, I believe, in D.C., of people who did, in fact, who were older and did use prescriptions and were not looking forward to the end of the medicine that was beyond its copyright, so that the prices of some of these things that are literally a life or death question here, those prices are able to go up indefinitely because there will no longer be medicine that it becomes generic at a certain point and thus affordable. You want to talk a little bit about the pharmaceutical industry and how it will certainly benefit at our loss.
Yes, absolutely. So that is true that not only in D.C., but really around the country, earlier this week, the Alliance for Retired Americans held community forums, held protests and rallies, because medicine consumers, because older people who depend on government drug benefits, who depend on being able to access affordable medicines, recognize that companies like Pfizer have worked hard and dumped tons of money into lobbying in order to ensure a trade agreement that will actually limit access to affordable medicines, that will expand corporate intellectual property rights, that will limit access to life-saving but expensive drugs like biologic medicines. The end product of the TPP negotiation, because of pushback by countries like Australia, actually what didn't even go as far as Big Pharma wanted it to, but it still will limit access to affordable medicines. And that's a problem for people who need medicines in this country. It's even more of a problem for people in some of the world's poorest nations. Some of
there that goes. Adam, hang on. We're out of time, and I still want to. I still have more questions for you, but we have to end it for today. I want to thank you so much for coming back and talking some more about this. We need to keep talking to everyone that we know. Call Suzanne Bonamici. Call Earl Blumenauer. Here's the number for a local call. 503. This is Bonamici. Bonamici, 503. Write it down. 469-6010. Earl Blumenauer, 503-231-2300. You're still looking for a pen? That's okay. We'll have those numbers at the KBOO front desk. This is Beat at Cascadia for Wednesday, January 13th, 2016. Tabby Dean engineered for us today. Thank you, Tabby. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.